You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With clients in over 20 Broadway shows and stages across the globe, colleges throughout the United States, other regional theaters, the West End in London, some friends in Australia, and just really theatergoers everywhere. So if you want to check out Built for the Stage, go to builtforthestage.com and you'll be on your way to a 7-day free trial where you can work with me one-on-one on an interactive fitness app. If you like the podcast, if you've been following along for a while, I'd appreciate if you like it and share it, subscribe, all those things. Screenshot the episode, post it up to your IG story and tag us, and that'll enter you in a competition or a giveaway, if you will, for some free swag. Got some new fall and winter gear coming, so if you want something snuggly, it could be on the way. So screenshot the episode, share it to your Instagram story, and give us a tag. We'd greatly appreciate it. All right, let's move on to our special guest today on the podcast. Special guest, as always, ran across this performer on the gram, multiversal talent, not just singing, dancing, and acting, but a musician. Got to see their music videos on the gram as well, like true artist, hashtag artist, for real. You've seen this artist in Come From Away, The Book of Mormon, Scottsboro Boys, The Ritz. They're currently at Goodspeed doing Christmas in Connecticut. I believe I'm slating that right. They can correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, just can't wait for you to meet our guest. Please welcome to the podcast, Josh Breckenridge. Hey, Josh, what's up?
What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I got that right, correct?
Christmas. You got it right. Christmas in Connecticut.
All right, let's just jump in. What's this all about, Christmas?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Yeah, it's a movie from like 1945, so old school, that they're reviving and turning into a brand new musical. You know, it's a world premiere that's happening here at Goodspeed Opera House in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting amongst the fall foliage out here right now, and my allergies are killing me, but I'm doing all right. it's great, man. We just got done with our first week of rehearsals. Yeah, it's my day off, and it's a pleasure to be here hanging with you. We start performances November 18th, and we go into December, December 30th. We could extend to the 31st, but yeah, if you guys are in the area and a fan of some good original musical theater, come check out Christmas in Connecticut. It's feel good, it's family, it's holiday, it's funny, it's everything. And I'm having a blast. I play a soldier, World War II war hero, actually, called Jefferson Jones. And yeah, man, it's been awesome.
Nice. Are you by nature a holiday person, or is this kind of cringy for you to be doing it this early?
No, I love it. I mean, I'm always of the mindset of like, don't rush me. Don't rush my year. When I see Christmas trees and like home goods and whatnot, like before Halloween, I'm always a little turned off by that. But right. But no, I love the holidays. I love, you know, this part of the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas is my jam. I do like Halloween as well. But yeah, we're knee deep in rehearsals now. So it's all I can think about is the show. And yeah, I'm not bothered by a little early holiday spirit.
It's we were talking that Goodspeed runs things in rep. Are there other shows rehearsing, or is it that you're rehearsing as they're performing, and then when they're done performing, you're about to start performing? How does it all work there?
Yeah, so the way it works here is incredible. I've worked at a lot of regional theaters, and I've never had an experience like this. I've heard friends over the years talk about how much they love Goodspeed, and now I have my own taste of that that amazing what Goodspeed has to offer. It's been operating for eons, and they have like this village here that's set up and constructed for the actors to have not only a space to rehearse, but lodging and company car, and you know, and like you said, it's in rep. 42nd Street is playing right now, which I got a chance to see a few nights ago, and it is phenomenal. Just Randy Skinner tap dancing, you know, extravaganza. I'm not crazy familiar with 42nd Street. I know, you know, some of the big songs, but apparently this is very revitalized and some changes and this and that. My friend Kate Baldwin, who is one of the leads, is extraordinary in it, as well as E. Clayton Cornelius and Max Van Essen. Like, there's some incredible artists and people that I'm sure you've worked with and know of that are in this piece. So they do a great job of getting some extraordinary talent out here in the sticks.
Yeah.
And our show's no exception. We got Ed Dixon, Matt Bogart, Audrey Cardwell, Rashidra Scott, myself, just a bunch of Raymond Lee, a bunch of amazing, amazing artists. And and the show's gonna be fun. I'm really excited to, you know, debut this show with this company, and I hope that from there we can keep growing. Maybe head towards New York City. We'll see.
Oh, so this is an out of town tryout, perhaps? Yeah.
In a way, it's a world premiere, and so you know they don't deliver too much information this early on. We're just here to do our job and help tell the story, and then hopefully it's received well, and then has legs and moves forward to the next incarnation. I know that Holiday Inn started here, and I think they had a run at the Muni, or if I'm not wrong, and then they went to Broadway. So hey, if I can, you know, get on this pony and ride this to New York, that would be amazing. Right now, I'm just living in the moment and enjoying my surroundings and having fun as a storyteller out here. So yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of living in the moment, I was just in London and I saw Come From Away in the West End. I also had seen it on Broadway.
Yeah.
Living in the moment in that show is like, you have no other choice from the way you jump in time and place and character to character. Talk a little bit about that. What role did you play, or roles? What was that experience like with Come From Away?
Yeah, man, you hit it on the nose. It's like you're shot out of a cannon with that show. It's 100 minutes of just pure joy, cathartic, you know, love, emotional, everything. It's just a roller coaster. Yeah. And you know, it sounds kind of crazy to be on stage nonstop, but it actually keeps the ball rolling. You know, there's so many, as you said, that we wear so many hats in that shows. In that show, everyone on stage is basically has to have a swing brain in nature, because we're all wearing different hats and playing at least like three different roles. I was a standby for most of my time at Come From Away. And recently in the last chunk of the show's run, I got bumped up. Our producers and creative team had the faith in me to move me up to playing Kevin J, Ali, and others. So that role originally created by Cesar Samayoa, and I had a blast, man. That was of the five. So we cover five out of six roles of our sex in the show. So there's six standbys, three men, three women. We each cover five out of the six of the roles that we could cover. And out of those five, that was my all-time favorite. It felt the most diverse. You know, you're playing a Newfoundlander, a Egyptian Muslim man, and then also one half of a beautiful, you know, gay couple, this guy from New York named Kevin Jay. So it was, you run the gamut with that show, no matter what track you play. Yeah. And I always say that we really had a huge responsibility to tell the story and tell it right. You know, I was blessed to be able to be on that stage, you know, eight times a week telling that story, oftentimes in front of the very people that we're portraying, you know, the plain people, as they call them, or the come from aways and the local Newfoundlanders. So
yeah,
I had a blast, man. One of the best theatrical experiences of my life, for sure.
Cool. You said it really kept the ball rolling. Speaking about your music and your music album that I talked about in the intro for everyone listening, it's titled Monotony. And I feel like some of it was, you had to have maybe wrote some of it during the pandemic. Is that true?
I did indeed. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a time when the ball wasn't rolling. So we were just in a global standstill, if you will. Tell us a little bit about like that project, what birthed it, or yeah, the inspiration behind it. Tell us a little bit about the album and some of the songs.
Sure, man. Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for bringing it up. And I know you had a listen and I really appreciate that. And, you know, as an independent artist, it's hard to get your stuff out there. And I think I discovered that through that process. Yeah, when I when the shutdown happened in March of 2020, I was home like a lot of actors. And before I went home to California to see my family, I kind of just, you know, held the fort at my place in New York with myself and my Wheaton Terrier. And, you know, I was bored and I was like, hey, I can either fulfill my dreams of doing interior design, which is also a love of mine, or, you know, get back to writing music. I wrote in high school a little bit in college and kind of fell by the wayside when theater, you know, jumped in the front seat. So I took out my ukulele, started strumming, got some chords, got some lyrics going. And yeah, man, within like 2 months, I had like 15 tracks done. For some reason, I think a lot of artists can probably agree with me that time, and I guess we're still kind of in the pandemic, right? But that time, the bulk of the pandemic was, you know, monotonous, but also inspirational. It was a time to take a break and see what else we could access from ourselves, right? So for me, I was very motivated. A lot of the songs have to do with moments in my life at that time, moments of recollection during the monotonous time of the shutdown. So I just had a lot. I just felt like I was fueled and ready to write. So I wrote, I posted a few clips of me online, little tidbits of me playing uke, just basic chords of some of the songs I wrote. And one of my friends, he's going to remain nameless because he prefers to, but he's a very loving and giving friend. And he was like, hey, I like what you're doing. You know, if you ever want to turn it into a full record or something, just let me know. I want to be a part of that. And I was like, okay, thanks. And, you know, fast forward to when I was ready to get a band and make this thing a record, I was like, I got 15 tracks. I got it down to 12. You know, no one has the attention span to even listen to like eight tracks nowadays, it seems. But yeah, I got the album figured out. I gave this friend a call and we made magic together. Got in the studio, a lot of stuff through my producer, James Frazee, who's in Jersey, was remote. I went out to California eventually, went to I went to a couple websites and got all the equipment that I could, and was staying in my parents' RV and created this record almost fully remotely. And eventually I went out to New York, finished recording some of it with him and with a live band. And yeah, man, that's how Monotony was born. I'm proud of it. I was able to make four music videos from that. Folks can check that out on my YouTube channel. And I know we can talk about social media and all that a little later, but yeah, I'm really, really happy about it. My first single was called Come to Me. Basically was, I was tired of waiting for, a partner, someone in life to, say yes to my wanting to go out or get drinks or this or that. And, I said, you know what, the ball's in your court. You can come to me. And so stuff like that fueled the songwriting. I've always been told to write what you know. And I did. And those, 12 tracks came out of that. And Monotony was born. Yeah. So I had four singles, Come to Me, Not Forgiving You, Home Is Where the Art Is, and You, Y-O-U. I'm happy that that moment in time happened. I've since, kind of shifted back into the flow of things that Come From Away. And now that that's closed, Christmas in Connecticut, and I'm hoping to continue down the road of theater, film, and television. But yeah, it was nice to fulfill that pipe dream and get that album out there.
Yeah, it sounded like there was a lot of like making it happen moments, from staying in the RV to producer remote. Touch on a few instances or recollections when you learned something, or you felt like you're out in the middle of the ocean, like, what am I doing? Like, how do I figure this out? Go ahead.
No, sorry. I had to do it right, man. I have so many friends, and probably we have so many, mutual friends in the business that have records of their own or on, labels or doing their thing. And I was like, you know what? I can't just put something shoddy out there. I got to do it right. So I enlisted or hired a marketing manager. I got a PR agent, and they, I learned worlds about the business through them, just about how to manage my social media and post in a timely way, and the algorithm and just the technical stuff that I am not too savvy about on the regular. Just stuff about the business and the reality of getting our stuff out there. I've seen a lot of people that have been listening to my music and gotten a lot of great feedback and folks that have really plunged into the record and said that they have, thank you for bringing about these, your own personal stories, because it made me dive into my own, and a lot of things that are universal about the record that folks were feeling during the pandemic, So I was blessed to, and I'm continue to be blessed to get a lot of great love for the record from friends and family and people out there. But it's hard to get noticed. I had no desire to, be a huge pop star, but I just wanted to make this dream happen. And if it took off, then it took off, and it took off in a great way, but it's kind of simmered since, and I'm fine with that. My stuff is out there in the universe, and I hope that it can continue to come back to me in a big way. And if I, write another album, I got to be inspired to do it. I'm not, crazy excited to jump on a new record right now, but when when I'm moved to, I'll be ready for it. So I've learned a lot about myself and what I'm able to do as an artist, both as a writer, as a singer, and producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
If you were to do another, would you do anything different the second time around?
Yeah, I think I would. See, I'm such a freaking nerd. I I love my theater. I love, you know, I love mainstream music as well, but I'm, I've been so inundated and focused on like a hermit crab on, or like, you know, with tunnel vision on the theater stuff that I wish I would have spent more time listening a little more to what is out there now musically, which I do. But I think that my album has a little bit of a theater influence, which is great for my listeners. Cause you know, a lot of folks come from our industry. And there's definitely pop and a lot of other influences in there. But I think maybe I would take a second and instead of doing what comes from my heart and, you know, definitely having shades of me and my stories in the music, I think I would try to aim and see what happens if I aim more towards a slightly different genre and see what that does for me traction-wise, you know, see how I can turn some more heads by utilizing my ear and trying to create music that's a little more mainstream and radio, even more radio friendly, and reflects kind of what's out there right now. So, yeah.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong path, because you see it so many times where people or groups will get recognized because they did their own thing from the jump. And then in the midst of it, there's the pressure to like go mainstream to get a larger audience. And then there's the reverse where they start mainstream. And then all of a sudden, once they get huge global popularity, they start to put out stuff that like they, you know, they wanted to do from the beginning.
Absolutely. And you really don't know where stuff is going to land. But no, I'm happy with the way everything turned out. And I hope it continues to, like I said, grow and come back to me. And open.
All right. So getting to know Josh a bit off of the stage or from behind the microphone, what are you all about other than performing? What will we find Josh doing hobby wise or going out somewhere wise? Give us a little insight on who Josh is.
A little personal flair. Man, like I said, I'm a little bit of a nerd. I think I'm an extroverted introvert. Someone used that phrase one time and I was like, that feels right. I am social, but you know, I love being home and creating as well. Love my TV shows, love my films, love my books.
What are we binging currently on TV? What are we binging?
No, House of Dragons. Come on.
What platform? What's that on?
It's on HBO. It's the, you know, branch of or prequel in a way to Game of Thrones.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so they just had the season finale last night and I watched it with some of my castmates and my jaw was to the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It was really good. And
I'm glad they got it right, because I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I heard the last episode was like disappointing for some.
I know. And I think that people are still waiting to get their money back or get like a new revitalized version of that ending of Game of Thrones proper. But this is a really cool season as well. And they've set it up to continue. And I'm seeing all the memes and crap online now and spoilers out there from last night. So it's fun to have go-tos like that and stuff to watch with friends. I also started watching Abbott Elementary, which everyone is obsessed with, and I love it. That's on HBO Max as well.
Okay.
Much different tone, very light, and kind of The Office vibes in the way it's directed and shot. And I love that too. And, you know, as an actor, it's, you know, I have a lot of hobbies, but a lot of them come back to what I do, right? It's always whether it's seeing theater or film or TV, I can't help but have a part of my my homework or business as an actor, you know, reflected in that or come up. So
yeah.
I like doing that. I like being in nature. I'm a huge gym nut, which
my next question was, all right, we're doing some working out over there. So what do you like to do? What's your choice?
I've always been wanting to jump on your program because everybody and their mom loves it, and I see the results and it looks awesome. So
I'll send you some programming after we get off the call here.
Please, man, please. And you know, I'm like I said, I'm in Connecticut. I'm away from my home and my gym. So a lot of what I have to do is body weight stuff and remote stuff in my own place. But luckily they give us access to an Anytime Fitness out here. So cool. We have a company car, we drive there. It suffices. It has everything I need. And luckily I have an awesome trainer at Temple Gym, Mario Cassis, who is this Lebanese guy who is freaking incredible and has gotten me shredded for more than a few roles now. And so he set me up with a program and nutrition and all that stuff to just stay
cool,
stay cut and stay right. I've kind of done myself in that a lot of roles that I've done have been like the leading man, you know, eye candy track, or the you got to have some arms, or it's mentioned that he has, you know, he's built, or, you know, I've got to be shirtless on stage. And that wasn't Come From Away, but that has been some shows in the past. And even in Christmas in Connecticut, I'm this soldier who it takes off his shirt at one moment and is in a tank top, and his arms are commented on by the leading lady. And so there's, you know, I've kind of set myself up to be that guy sometimes with casting, which I'm okay with, but it just requires me to stay fit and keep that brand up. And you know, my thirst traps on Instagram don't help. So
yeah, it's a whole can of worms out there. And like, I definitely with Built for the Stage like to focus on like the actors being athletes thing, and like the ability to be durable and be your best performer 8 times a week and just be able to do the job regardless of aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes like if they're going to write the script and say the things they're going to say, then you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
Of course. And don't get me wrong, I've done a slew of roles that are, there's no physical, you know, specificities. There's nothing that's specific about the physical type. But yeah, as a young-ish male in the, you know, baritone, I tend to get those leading man tracks that, you know, there's some kind of love interest. There's got to be some kind of attraction there. And they just go hand in hand. And, you know, I'm not mad about it on one hand, because it keeps me healthy and fit and, you know, living day to day in a healthy way. So
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so as you go along in your career here, we'll jump into something like more quote-unquote serious. I like to use this for helping people coming up in the industry or that might be in a dry spot right now in their career. What's something you look back on where you were, you know, distraught, you were going through some tough times, and you wish like yourself now – could go back and be like, hey, listen, Josh, here's my advice on how you should approach this or what you should do. Were there any moments or like what any advice that you would give people in either a dry spot or just starting out trying to make waves?
Sure. I would say like don't take things too seriously. The business is very cutthroat and stressful, and you know, you do have to represent yourself well, but I find that more times than not, I overstress myself out about doing my job and doing it well. And often in this, you know, just like we were talking about, I keep going back to Christmas in Connecticut, but these gigs where it's like you feel like you're always having to audition no matter what, and you want to stay the course and stay with something until, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, a Broadway original role or something, or even, you know, film and TV. And I think I have swindled myself out of, you know, a couple of opportunities just because I've gotten in my head too much and overanalyzed and gotten too stressed about the end result instead of living in the moment. And as we live in the moment as actors, we're not only You know, we're in the stakes, we're in the storytelling. Not only is that beneficial for the audience, whether it's TV, film, or theater, because you're honestly living your truth out there, but it also removes the mental stresses that we can throw on ourselves in these high profile, high stressful, very stressful situations, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's win-win to kind of just plug yourself in terms of acting into whatever role you're portraying. And whether it's vocally, you're stressed out about something, or storytelling wise, or movement wise, you know, just trust yourself, trust your guts, live in the moment, tell the truth. And a lot of times that'll alleviate a lot of that negative energy and stress that causes blockage for us as performers. I've kind of like wound myself into knots in the past in certain situations, just stressing myself out unnecessarily. And part of that comes with age, right? Like just out of school, early 20s. Yeah. You can say that to someone and they're not going to get it until they live it themselves. Right. But, now in my mature state, I think I've lived and seen enough examples of where that stress gets you versus where that release and confidence and just, you know, zen mindset gets you. And the latter is the way to go, in my opinion.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll end it with a couple of lighter, sillier questions. Again, getting to know you, because we just want to highlight you as a person to our audience out there.
Yeah.
You're listening to your playlist. What song is always popping up? What are you walking down the streets to, or in your car, or right before rehearsal? What's one of your go-to songs right now?
You know, the whole Renaissance album is you know, the thing right now, of course. And going to the gym and listening to that from top to bottom is, you know, it's kind of been my routine for a little bit, like a lot of people. But you know what? I don't know if I'm going to get flack for this, but Charlie Puth, is that how you pronounce his name? You don't know him? Okay. He has an album that's out. There's a song, Charlie Be Quiet, on it. There's a lot of just fun, catchy pop tunes that are fun to work out to, that give me energy, that give me drive. And it's simple stuff. It's love story, you know, storytelling, and but very catchy tunes and short. You know, it's interesting. I brought up attention spans before, and I feel like we as a people, like, our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, myself included. You know, most of the songs on his album are like 2 minutes long, 2:15. I think his whole album, what's it called? I think it's a self-titled album that came out in this year. Everything is like no more than 2.5 minutes. And his whole album, I think, is like 33 minutes. And, you know, that's something that I can listen to in a workout and, you know, have fun with. So Charlie's been great. And, you know, of course, Beyonce. I know I'm kind of stereotypical.
No.
Right now, but it's
when it's good, it's good.
Yeah, it's a vibe. And you know, who doesn't love living in a good vibe?
All right. One exercise. If you could only do one exercise for the rest of your life, what would that exercise be?
Oh, man. Oh, God. I'd have to say crunches.
Crunches. Okay. Okay, cool. All right, crunches. All right, and then the opposite. If you could get rid of
legs.
Just anything legs.
Forget legs. I mean, specifically quads. Any squatting.
I'm sure your trainer Mario has something to say about that.
Yeah, he will. He'll say, "Shut up and do the work."
Hey.
But yeah, man.
That's how we're gonna end this episode. Shut up and do the work.
I like it, man.
Hey, sometimes I was just talking to a client today, like, it's not about magic sauce. It's not about the secret formula. It's literally sometimes just doing the work that most aren't willing to do. That's what makes you special.
Absolutely, man. Agreed.
Josh, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Everyone listening, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it already. Josh's website is j-breckenridge.com. You can also check Josh out on the gram at j.breckenridge.music. But again, we'll make that super easy for you. It'll be in the description of this episode. Make sure to give him a follow. Josh, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe. Take care, man.
Okay, appreciate you. All right, everyone. Josh Breckenridge, another great chat. Wishing Josh and his cast Christmas in Connecticut at good speed. All the best. Thanks again for tuning in, being a supporter of Built for the Stage. Check us out at builtforthestage.com or at Built for the Stage to try that 7-day free trial with yours truly. We'll be chatting one-on-one, coach-client relationship. And that's all I got for you. Actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.